Today's daf is Ayin Vav. We're going to start at the Mishnah. We'll just review the Mishnah from yesterday at Ayin Hey Amud Bet. Asham shenitarev bishlamim. So if you have a korban asham and it gets mixed up with the shlamim, which remember there's all different details of things you do for a shlamim that you don't do for an asham, things are relevant for asham that aren't done to a shlamim. So what happens if you have these both mixed up? So Rabbi Shimon, if you remember, we already learned the kodshim shenitarev and kodshim, we sacrifice them, right? And then they kind of go to whichever owner they're for. So Rabbi Shimon omer shnehem yishchetu b'tzafon v'yochlu kachamor shebehen. So both get eaten in the north, slaughtered in the north, and then the rules of eating them, where they can be eaten, how long they can be eaten for, goes by the mor chamor, which in this case will be the asham. Amru lo, so they said to Rabbi Shimon, emi v'im kodeshim lebeit hapsul. How can you create a situation lechatchila where you say we're now going to take a korban that in theory could have been eaten for 2 days and a night, or could have been eaten anywhere you want, and now by anyone, and now you're going to limit it and potentially create psulim, right? It could be notar, it could be someone will eat it out of its place, it could be it won't be eaten by kohanim. So all these things you're basically creating. In other words, you could take a shlamim, which was mutar for all these circumstances, and now you're going to make it pasul because let's say somebody eats it outside the time. By the way, I was thinking about it. When you know for sure that something is usur, generally you won't do it. But in this case, there's more of a likelihood of it becoming notar because you want to try to finish it in time, but party feels like, well, maybe anyway, it's a shlamim. So you're not as strict about it when you know that there's a possibility of it not being, you know.
You don't have to be.
Right, exactly. So it could be that that's particularly why they're more worried about it. So anyway, there's a machloket, Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, whether Rabbi Shimon says you treat it kechamor shebehen, and according to Chachamim, since we don't want to create this situation, what do? We leave the animals out to graze, and we redeem them and buy new sacrifices, and we can't actually bring these as sacrifices. But once they were already shechted, nitarvu chatichot b'chatichot, pieces of meat got mixed up with pieces of meat, kochim b'kochim kalim, hanechalim liyamacha b'nechalim l'shnei amim v'layla, yochlu kechamor shebehen. Okay, if anything gets mixed up and they have different rules about where and when they can be eaten, so then they get eaten by the chamor shebehen. There, chachamim, there's no solution to it for chachamim. You can't just say, oh, let it, you know, we'll redeem them. You can't redeem meat once it's been slaughtered. So in that case, they will agree. Okay, now we're going to bring another brayta. We're basically going to be dealing with Rabbi Shimon for a while. So remember what Rabbi Shimon says. He says, we treat them kechamor shebehem, even in the case where we could potentially leave them out to graze. Tani tana kamedi rav. So Tana brought a brayta in front of Rav. Emorah brought a brayta in front of Rav. Shvi'it ein lochim b'damei atruma mipnei shememaatim ba'achilata. So this is a totally different topic. When you have perot shvi'it, there's unique circumstances under which you can sell perot shvi'it. Okay, let's say you're not supposed to gather in large quantities and sell them in the Shemitah year. But let's say you gathered in a little bit more than what you needed, and you have some extra, so you're allowed to sell them under certain circumstances. But there's rules to what happens with the money that you sold them for. So the money that you sold the perot shvi'it for now has kedushat shvi'it on it. And what do we know about shvi'it? It's allowed to be eaten. All the perot shvi'it you can basically gather into your house. You can use them until what time? Until there's no more fruits outside, right? Because it's lechao lebehem techaleh. Also, when there's nothing left for the behemot, then you have to do bi'or, you have to take out all the fruits that you have left in your house, and you can't use them anymore. So there's a time limit on how long these fruits can be eaten. Adzman bi'or. So now, let's say you take these perot shvi'it. What can you do? So, and then you sell. You sell them in a way that's mutar to sell them. Like I said, there's limited circumstances under which you can sell them. You sell them. The money that you now have that you've gained from that has the kedushat shvi'it on it, which means that you can only use that money you can only use that money to buy things that you're now going to make sure get eaten before zman bi'or. And if they're still existing, then you have to destroy them, zman bi'or. You can't eat them anymore. So if you went and took them and bought lemons, and then there were, or I guess we, let's try vegetables, it would be better, not the, it's not on fruits. You bought cucumbers, and then there's no more cucumbers left in the fields. Or, no, sorry, let's say they were on your tomatoes. They were perot shviit of tomatoes. You sold the tomatoes, you now have money, and you buy cucumbers with them. So the cucumbers have to be destroyed when the zman bi'or of the tomatoes, okay, from the original. So now the Braita says, you can't buy with perot shviit, with the money of perot shviit, shviit ein lochim b'dameha, truma. You can't buy truma produce, assuming you're a Kohen. You can't buy truma produce because mipnei shememaatim b'achilata. Because if you buy truma cucumbers, and it's not yet zman, right? In other words, you wouldn't have a problem with eating the cucumbers as long as you want. But now that you bought them with perot shviit money, you can only eat them so long as the tomatoes, this tomato season, right? As soon as there's no more tomatoes outside, then you'd have to destroy those cucumbers. And we don't want to create a situation where you're destroying kodesh. Okay? So, now you can see why this is connected. Amura Rabbanan Kamei de Rava. So the rabbi said in front of Rava, Ha Deloka Rabbi Shimon, this Braita does not hold like Rabbi Shimon. Because remember, what did Rabbi Shimon say? He said, Yochlu kechamor shebehen, and he wasn't worried about this issue that Chachamim were worried about, Ein mevi'im kodeshim lebeit hapsul. He says, it's no problem. We can treat it like the mor chamor, and now we're limiting the time it can be eaten. So therefore, when it comes to truma, you would think that he would also allow it there. And therefore, the fact with the perot shviit, you can't buy truma with them. He would think you can. De'ikar Rabbi Shimon ha'amar, didn't Rabbi Shimon say, mevi'im kodeshim lebeit hapsul, we don't have an issue with this. So what does Rava say? Remember, the rabbis brought this in front of Rava and said this. Amar lehu, afilu temu Rabbi Shimon, hanemile di'evad, lechatchila lo. He said, when Rabbi Shimon said it, that was once, right? Rabbi Shimon says you can do this if b'di'evad, they've already been mixed up. The case with the asham was the asham got mixed with the shlamim, so we're going to treat the shlamim like it's an asham, even though that's limiting the time frame, right? But that's because it was already di'evet, it was already mixed up. But lechatchila, but to say I have money, this perot shviit, am I allowed to now buy truma with it when I know that I'm going to be putting the truma in a situation where now I'm limiting the time frame, they can be involved, they can be eaten, and I might have to eventually destroy truma, which we prefer not to do. Well, that, of course, you can't do. Okay, so far our structure is, we have our Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon, we have a Braita that they brought in front of Rava and said to Rava, this Braita is not Rabbi Shimon, and Rava answers, what are you talking about? That Braita is Lechatchila, this is, our Mishnah is Bidyevet. So now the Gemara questions, Abaye questions. Ulechatchila lo, you really think Rabbi Shimon doesn't even allow it Lechatchila? Eti ve'Abaye, Abaye is now going to bring a series of questions. Okay, we're going to have, ultimately, there's going to be four questions of Abaye. Well, actually, not four questions of Abaye. Four questions altogether. There's going to be, the structure is like this. Two of Abaye, where he's going to bring sources that seem to show Rabbi Shimon. One, Rabbi's going to answer. The other one, he's not going to be able to answer. This third thing we're going to have is Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye, I don't know why you didn't ask a question from a different place. You could have asked this question. And then we're going to have another question of Abaye. Okay? And again, we're going to have an answer to it. So we're going to end up with that one question of Abaye that's not answered, but the others we're going to have answers with. So, Eitiv Abaye. V'kulan rishayin kohanim l'shanot b'achilatan. All the korbanot, the kohanim, are allowed to eat them any way they want. Ochlan tzluyin, shlukin, mevushalim. Remember we saw this Mishnayot which said you can cook the meat any way you want it other than korban pesach, which can only be tzli. V'latet l'tochan, here's our important part, and you can, the Kohanim are allowed to add to the Korbanot tavli chulin, okay, spices that are regular chulin spices. And you can spice it with any kind of salt or pepper you want. It doesn't have to be hektish spices. Vit tavli truma, and they can use truma spices on it. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so now, what does this show? This shows that if you cook the meat with truma spices, then you're limiting the time that the truma can be eaten. Because the truma spices, in theory, you could have eaten whenever you wanted. Now that you put them on the meat, they have the status of the meat and can only be eaten for whatever time frame the meat can be eaten. And therefore, what do you see? You can limit truma. Okay, but this actually isn't Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. It's just Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Okay, sorry. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Otherwise, it wouldn't be relevant. The point is, I don't know why the Nusach says Yishmael, it's just a mistake. Anyway, this is Rabbi Shimon. So if Rabbi Shimon says that you can do this, you see that he has no problem. L'chatchila, you can put Truma Tavlinim here. So Rabbi answers, Amarle, Hanach l'Truma Tavlin Dirabanan. The Truma on these spices is only Dirabanan. Why is it Dirabanan? Not specifically because they're spices, but because if you remember, Doraita is only on Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzhar. On wheat, on grapes, wine, all that stuff, and on olives and olive oil. So you see here, this is only Truma Derabanan, and therefore, when it's Truma Derabanan, he'll be mekel and allow you to do it lechatchila. But if it's Truma Doraita, we can still say no. So Rava's answer holds. Second source, Etive. Abai continues. Ein lokim truma bekesef maaser mipnei shememaet ba'achilata. Rabbi Shimon Matir, you can't buy truma with the kesef of Maser Sheni. Remember the Maser Sheni? You bring your fruits, but if you don't want to bring them, you turn them into money, and then you take the money and you purchase items in Yerushalayim. So now if you're going to buy truma, what happens? You're limiting the space in which they can be eaten, because then they have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So if that's the case, you can only let them be eaten in Yerushalayim, which again means if you took them out of Yerushalayim, you're now going to apostle them, when this truma really, in theory, could have been eaten anywhere. So you can't do that. But Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar. So what do you see? Rabbi Shimon doesn't care that we're going to be limiting, which means that lechatchila, it's not a problem, which matches Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, which knocks out Rava, who said, oh, our Mishnah was only b'di'eved and not lechatchila. So here we now see that even lechatchila, he allows this.
That's a limit by space, not by time.
It's true. It is a limit by space, not by time. But we were talking in the Mishnah about all sorts of limitations, whether it's time or space or... I mean, they did talk specifically about nechalim liyom echad and nechalim, but when they say yochlu kechamor shebahem, the assumption is all the rules relating to it, time and space. So here, basically, we see that Rabbi Shimon says, l'chatchila, it's okay, and therefore, ishtikle, okay? And Rava was silent, he had no answer. Okay, now, as I said, ki anta l'kamei de Rav Yosef, when Abai went before Rav Yosef, remember, there's always lots of interaction between Abai and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was his rabbi. So when he comes before Rav Yosef, amar le, amai lo totve meha, he says to Abai, why didn't you question Rava from this source? Okay, classic teacher, student, right? Come on, you could have had another question. Now, even though, it's funny, because even though Abai won, so to speak, and Rava had no answer, it's not like he needed to bring another source, but Rav Yosef, you know, was trying to maybe sharpen his mind and say, hey, you know, there's more sources, there's more things you could have said. Ein mevashlim yerek shel shvi'it b'shemen shel truma. You can't cook a vegetable of shvi'it in oil of truma. Why? Again, shelo yaviu kodeshim lebeit apsul. Because again, you're going to take this yerek of shvi'it, which is limited by time. You're going to add shemen of truma. Once you cook them together, they become a combination. Once they're a combination, the truma is now limited in what time it can be eaten. And yet, Rabbi Shimon is matir. So again, what do you see? He doesn't care. And now we're talking about truma, right? I'm sorry, we're talking about shemen of truma. So now there's going to be a bit of a, there's actually a few different ways of reading this sugya, but we're going to assume right now that it's generally shemen is shemen zayi, but it seems like maybe the Mishnah, the Gemara thinks, or Abai thinks that it wasn't shemen, it wasn't olive oil, which would be truma d'oraita, but Abai is going to suggest maybe the oil could have been egozim oil, sesame oil, you know, some sort of other oil. We know there's many other oils. Amarle Abaye, v'lav miutvine mehad to tavlin. Didn't I ask the question for the tavlin? V'amarle, and Rava said to me, hanach l'trumat tavlin d'rabanan. Hachanami, trumat yerek d'rabanan. Okay, now here's a bit of a problem with the nusach, because it's not the yerek that's the truma, it's the shemen that's the truma. Okay? So there's a few different ways of understanding it, whether we mean that the oil, right, was, you know, the most logical is to say that the oil, he was saying, was basically, oh, you could say it's vegetable oil, right, but really it doesn't make sense. The yerek here is a bit of a problem with the nusach. Okay, so hachanami truma yerek derabana. So then he says, if that's the case, so if you read it according to the words here, okay, which is a little difficult. He's saying that the Truma Yerek is Drabanan, but it's weird that he's saying that because really the Shvi'it was the Yerek and the Truma was the Shemen, right? So Rav Yosef answers him. I'll try to read the sugya in two different readings, okay? One way is really saying he doesn't mean Truma Yerek. You don't have the word Yerek here, and really it should be the Shemen, okay? And one way of reading it is he means the Yerek, in which case Rav Yosef says, Yihachi ipcha mebaile lemina, then it should have said the opposite according to what you're saying. If the Truma is only Durabanan, if you think the source is talking about Truma Durabanan, then it should have said Yerek shel Truma b'shemen shel Shvi'it. Okay, that's one way of reading it, but Abai's answer really makes no sense according to that, because Abaya's answer is it's talking about a Yerek of Truma, and Yerek of Truma is Drabanan, but it wasn't talking about a Yerek of Truma, and it's exactly what Rav Yosef says to him. Rav Yosef's answer should be fairly, and it doesn't make sense that Abaya would have even said that. That's why the other Nusach makes a bit more of sense, and then we have to read the other Nusach. Rav Yosef is going to be more problematic. But the other Nusach says Truma Shemen, in other words, the Truma of the Shemen is Drabanan, because the Shemen is only Drabanan. It's not Shemen Zayit. And then Rav Yosef says like this, if that's what the Braita wanted to make a point to teach us, it should have, if it wanted to say that the Truma was only Truma Durabanan, it shouldn't have used the example that the Shemen was Truma. It should have used the example that the Yerek was Truma, because Shemen generally in the Gemara or the Braita is usually Shemen Zayit, because that was the most popular Shemen. So therefore, if it wanted to say that this is, we're talking about Truma Durabanan, it should have done Truma Shel Yerek and the Shvi was the oil. Okay, so that's what they're basically, you know, again, either which one has a bit of a problem with the Nusach, but, you know, those are the two different interpretations. So where are we up to? So now we had Rav Yosef suggests, why don't you say this? And Abai answers, it's Durabanan. And that's why I didn't bring this up. I knew Rava would answer me just like he answered in the other one. And Rav Yosef says, it doesn't make sense to say there's a case of Durabanan and Truma because of the way it's worded. V'lav miyutvine mematnitin dematir Rabbi Shimon v'amarli di'arev hachanami di'arev. So now Abai says back to him, but didn't we answer in the question of our Mishnah when we said Rabbi Shimon was matir? And what did we say? Why was Rabbi Shimon matir there? What did he say? Because it was already mixed in. So can't you say also hachanami di arev? Maybe here it was also mixed in. Right? In which case, right, the Shemen was mixed up already with the Yerek. In other words, it wasn't a case, we thought it was l'chatchila. Can you put in the Shemen of this with that? But now he's saying maybe it was already mixed up. And that's why, in other words, then it would show that it's b'di'evet. Okay? So, one second, because Abai from the beginning was saying, l'chatchila, he doesn't allow it. And here we're going to say that l'chatchila, sorry, I'm trying to remember what stage we're up to in the argument here. Right. This is, again, what are we, right, I was confused about Abai. Last time Abai was trying to knock out Rava. Here Abai is trying to say to Rav Yosef, why didn't I bring this as a question of Rava? Because Rava could have answered that this is a b'di'evet situation, where the Shemen was already mixed in, okay, and therefore was only b'di'evet. Even though it says, Eim v'ashlim yarek b'shel shvi b'shemen shel truma, what does that mean? It means if they're already mixed up, you can't cook them together. And Rabbi Shimon says, oh, once they're mixed up, you can cook them together. But in other words, they're already mixed up. You understand? There's two ways to read this. Either does it mean don't use that oil when you're picking up those vegetables because it will limit it? Or does it mean if the oil's already mixed up, then you can't? Or Rabbi Shimon would say, then you can. Okay, so according to this, Abai is saying, Rava could have answered me very simply, this actually is a b'di'evet case, and therefore it's not a question on his l'chatchila, you know, the fact that he thought l'chatchila, Rabbi Shimon would have a problem. So now Rav Yosef questions and says, E-D-E-R-A-F, if it's already mixed in, then my time I owe Durabanan. Durabanan then shouldn't have an issue once it's already mixed up. Because midi dahave a asham bishlamim. Remember, there were two cases in our Mishnah. One was where the animals were mixed up, and you could just say, well, we're not going to shech them. We'll leave them out to graze, and we'll redeem it. And that's when Chachamim said you have to do that. But once the animals were slaughtered, and there was nothing to do anymore, Then Chachamim said, well, we have no choice. It's already a done deal. So we treat it like Hachamor Shebehen, and we have no problem with limiting the kudshim, you know, the causing a possible psul. So here, wouldn't you say it's the same thing? Once the shemen is mixed up with the vegetables, so there's nothing to do anymore. Therefore, you can cook it, and then Chachamim should allow it in this case. So why does the Braita say the Chachamim don't allow it? So this is Rav Yosef's way of saying, you couldn't have answered, it's a case where it's already mixed up. Because if it's already mixed up, then Chachamim would have allowed it. So Abaye answers, no, not true, because mi dame. These two cases aren't similar. Hatam id le takanta beriya, ha le takanta beriya. So now they say, oh no, one second. My time I adore, oh, maybe I'm reading this wrong. One second. My time I adore a banan. Oh, sorry. That was the answer. Okay. Sorry. First, the Gemara says, if they were mixed up, then what's the reason of Rabbanan? And the answer is, because they're like the Asham and Shlamim, assuming, I kind of jumped the gun, assuming we're talking about the Asham and Shlamim in the beginning, right? That where the Rabbanan say, if you haven't slaughtered them and they're mixed up, then you have to leave them out to grace. So then they say, no, but it's not the same as that. And that's exactly for the reason I just explained. Mi dame. Ha tamit le takanta beriya. Ha le le takanta beriya. Ha lo dame. Ela lechaticha shebechatichot. Bekevan de le takanta de ochel kechamor shebehen. Okay, so now we're going to say exactly what I said before. It's just they did it in shlavim. First they say, why do chachamim say that? And they say, oh, chachamim say it, just like chachamim say it in the first case. But then they say, no, no. It's not similar to the first case, because the first case, there's a solution. In the second case, there's no solution. In our case, it's more similar to where there's no solution because they're already mixed up. So now they're going to say, Matkif la Ravina. Now, Abaye doesn't answer anymore, but Ravina pipes in and says, wait. But it's not exactly similar to the second case. Mi dame chaticha shebachati. Mi dame. Why do you think it's more similar to the second case? Chaticha shebachaticha leile takanta klal. When you have a chaticha mixed up in chatichot of meat, there's nothing to be done, right? We have one that's with an Asham, one that was a Shlomo, we don't know which is which. We're going to have to treat it like a Chamor Shebehen. But hi, eat le takanta bischita. But this one you can resolve by squeezing the oil out of the vegetables. Okay, yeah, you wonder, right? What exactly does that mean? Anyone who, right? It's not so easy to squeeze it out. But anyway, you can attempt to squeeze. You can, right now he assumes you can squeeze out all the oil. So now that if you can squeeze out all the oil, then basically it doesn't make sense, so let's just backtrack. If you can squeeze out all the oil, then it's more similar to the first case, in which case, right, in which case you could say that even, right, so then Rabbi Shimon would be matur, even l'chatchila. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef, and therefore you could have asked that question on Rava. Rabbi Yosef, hechi nischot. So according to Rabbi Yosef, how could you actually squeeze it? Nischot tuve, if you squeeze it really, really, and it's to get it really all the oil out, you're going to have to squeeze it really hard. What happens if you squeeze the vegetables of shvi'i really hard? What are you going to do to them? Kamafsi b'shvi'i. You're going to cause a hefsed of shvi'i. You're going to lose some of the vegetables. You know, sort of, if you remember, shvi'i, you have to treat also with kedusha. You can't just destroy them and mash them up even in certain situations. So you can't do that. Nischo porta, and if you don't squeeze it a lot, just a little, sofia ruvim me'arev, you're going to have some of the mixture in it. Okay, so therefore, we kind of end with this question on Rabbi Yosef. It doesn't really make so much sense, your source, because it must be a case of bidyevet and not l'chatchila. Etive, so now Abaye, like I said, is going to bring one more question. Rabbi Shimon Omer, l'machorat mevi ashamo v'logo imo v'omer. Im shol mitzora, harei ze ashamo v'ze logo. V'im lav, asham ze shel shalmei nedava. Okay, so let's stop for a minute. This is a case of a Safek Mitzora. He's not sure if he's a Mitzora or not. So what does he do? You can't just bring a Korban Misafek, because then you could be bringing Chulin Lazara, which you're not allowed to do. So what does he do? He brings what's L'machorat after the 7 days. In other words, he treats himself like a Mitzora, and he's Muskar for 7 days, and you know he goes through the whole process. And then on the 8th day, he brings his Korban Hashem and the Log of Shemen. And he says like this, if I'm a Mitzora, then this will be my Korban Hashem. And this will be the Log of Shemen. V'im lav, and if not, Hashem zeh shel shalmei nedava. I'll bring this Korban Hashem as a shalmei nedava, as a voluntary peace offering. Okay, now, what do we do with this Hashem now? Oto asham, so this is very similar to our Mishnah, right? Where there's an asham mixed up with a shlamim. This is a case where it could be an asham or it could be a shlamim, we're not sure, right? It's 50-50 depending on whether he's a matzor or not. It's not a matter of we mixed up two animals. Now we're talking about one person, you know, it could go either way. So what do they say? Oto asham, how do we treat this? It's ta'un shchita b'tzafon. It needs shchita b'tzafon like the asham. Matam behonot. You have to treat it like an asham mitzora, and you have to put, remember, you have to put the blood on the bohen yadoa yimanit, and, you know, on his finger, his toe, his ear. Okay, yeah, so that treats it like the asham, but it also needs smicha like the shlamim. There's no smicha in an asham. Unisachim like a shlamim. Uchnufat chazeh v'shok like a shlamim. V'ne'echal liyom v'layla like an asham. Okay, so we treat it like both, the chumrot of both. So what do you see here? Even though we're not sure whether he's supposed to bring one or the other, what do we say? Lechatchila, he can bring a korban. Otherwise, what could we say? Well, look, we're stuck. B'dieved, you're not allowed to, right? So what do you see here? The Rabbi Shimon allows you. In other words, sorry, I used the wrong b'dieved in the wrong way. In other words, what do we say? We could say, since we have a suffix, it's 50-50, we don't know which one this is. So because of not being posel kodshim, right, we're not gonna let you bring a korban at all. But what do you see here? Rabbi Shimon's matir, even lechatchila, okay? So, what do they answer here? Tikune gavra shane. This is different because he's got a problem. He's a mitzora. So because the person has a problem that he needs to resolve, we're going to basically let him bring this sacrifice, right? Whereas in our Mishnah, when we had the sacrifice, it wasn't an issue. What did we do? We said, sell it. And, right, you know, you let it, leave it out to graze till it has a mum. Sell it, and then take the money and buy a new one. So, in other words, eventually he'll get his whatever he needs. But in this case, there's no way for him to bring a sacrifice unless we allow him to do this. And therefore, that's not a good situation. It's not a good comparison. Okay, so now we're going to get off a little bit within this on, okay, so now according to this, the Safek Mitzora, we understand Hatinach Asham. So we understand how we could bring this Asham. But Log Ma'ika Lameimar. But how can he bring a Log Shemin? Because if he brings the Log Shemin to the Mikdash, and he's not supposed to bring it because he's not a Mitzora, then he's bringing Chulin LeMikdash. Now there's a big question, are you allowed to bring Chulin LeMikdash or not? Can you just bring in random oil that's not sanctified? In theory, it seems like you can, or at least according to some opinions, but the issue is you can't do some sort of avoda with them. Here you're doing an avoda with them, and the avoda might not actually be needed to be done, and then you're doing something that you can't do. So what do we do with this log? Ma'ika lemeimar. Damar. So let me say, this is what he does. Log ze yehene dava. So now they're going to say, he says, this log, you can, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but you can bring shemen, okay, we're going to learn this later, you can bring shemen to the mikdash and say, I'm bringing sanctified shemen to the mikdash. You can do that. And then you do kmitza with the shemen, okay? There's a whole description, we'll get to it, of how exactly you do kmitza with the shemen, right? It's not exactly going to stay in your hands. So we'll see how you do kmitza with the shemen. And then what do? You burn the oil on the mizbeach that you did, the kmitza of the oil, and the rest of it is mutar to the kohanim, okay? To eat, or, you know, you don't exactly eat it, but to use for food. So what the question is, what do you do with this? So they say, you say, log ze yehene dava. In other words, if I'm a mitzora, then I'm going to use it for mitzora. And if I'm not a mitzora, then it will be a nedava. So then they say, well, dilma lav mitzorahu. If it's not mitzora, then what's he supposed to do? Buy mikmas. But then he needs to do kmitza with it. In other words, you can't just bring it to the mikdash and say, well, look, I brought it to the mikdash. If it's kodesh, if I'm a mitzora, so I'll do my avoda to the mitzora. So he does the avoda to the mitzora anyway. And if it's not, well, then at least I didn't bring, you know, it'll be shemen nedava, and I brought it to the mikdash. But you can't just bring it to the mikdash. You have to do kmitza. So what's the Gemara answer? Dimakmitz. Oh, so fine. So you do, and what do you do with the shemen? You put it on the behonot and the, right, on the ear and the finger and the toe of the mitzora, just like you did with the blood, right? That's what they do with the oil. And you do kmitza with it also. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. But v'dilma mitzorahu, if you do kmitza, And you're a metzora by matan sheva. By the way, I forgot to mention, you not only put it on their ears, but you also have to, actually, maybe you don't put it on the ears. Now I'm confused. Right, maybe you just put it. The oil is put on the, 1 second. Let me look at that. Confused now. Vayikri Yudalid. So that's what the metzora does. Right, he takes the miyeter Hashem. No, he does put the shemen. Okay, so first he puts his, right, he sprinkles 7 times by the lifnei Hashem, right, by the parochet, and then he takes the rest of it and he puts it on the ear and the toes and all that of the mitzvah. So now they're saying, if you're going to do kmitza, then we're assuming you're not doing matan sheva. So you can't do both with them. We'll see why in a minute. You can't do both, okay? You might have thought, well, isn't it obvious that you're doing both the sheva and the ear and the toe and the foot and the, I'm sorry, the finger and the toe and the ear and the 7 hazayot of the shemen, and you're going to do the kmitza, okay? So first of all, they say, why matan sheva? So they say, diyav, you do both. You do kmitza and you do matan sheva. So now we're going to see why they thought that you weren't doing matan sheva. But isn't it missing shemen? In other words, if you do kmitza first and then you do the matan sheva, you're doing matan sheva with shemen that's, you took a log shemen, you did the kmitza, so now you no longer have a log shemen. In order to do the matan sheva and then the ear, the toe, and the finger, you need a full log. So you can't possibly do both. So what do they say? Demaite porto malele. Now, so what do you do? Okay, so we're going to keep getting more details of this process. First you do the kmitza, then you refill the log of shemen, okay? You add whatever was missing. And then, right, where do we do this? At Lela Seder, when we do the Dam Tzvardea Kinim, right? And then we fill up the cup. It's like that, okay?
Except you have to get the shemen has to be a certain kind of shemen, right?
Well, they had the shemen, and it's the same shemen they use, so they just add some shemen. Titnan, how do we know that you need to do this? Chaser halog, ad shelo yatzaki malenu. It's the Mishnah that says explicitly, if you're missing some, you can just add some more. V'habai haktara, but doesn't need to be burned the shemen on the mizbeach? So they say, fine, so what? Da'akter ole, okay? In other words, right? What's the issue? They keep asking these questions that it's not so clear what the issue is, but then it becomes clear later what the issue is. So they say, oh no, of course. You take the kmitza, you burn it on the mizbeach, and then you do the sprinkling, you know, then you fill up. Okay, let's go through the process now. Right, we keep adding. So you take the oil, you do the kmitza, however they do the kmitza, then you burn it on the mizbeach, then you refill, and then you do the sheva hazayot. So now they say, Eimat, when exactly are you doing the haktara? Ibatar sheva matanot. If you do it, let's say, okay, I actually said it the other way, but let's say first you do the kmitza, then you do the sheva hazayot, and then you do the haktara. Havaluhu shiraim shechasru ben kmitza lahaktara ve'em maktirin et hakometz alehen. Okay, what's the issue with the haktara? You're supposed to do the kmitza, and then you burn it. What does the burning do? It allows you to eat the shiraim, whatever's left over. But there's a special halacha that says that if the shiraim, if someone takes some of the oil out of the shirayim that are left before you burn it, which is exactly what we're doing here, right? If we're going to sprinkle the hazayot before the haktara, then we're going to basically be chaser shirayim, we're being machzir the shirayim, we're taking away from the shirayim. And shirayim shechasru ben kmitza lahaktara ein maktirim et hakometz alehen. You're not allowed to burn the oil in this kind of a situation if the shirayim are no longer as much as it was when you did the kmitza. So therefore, it can't be that you're doing it in that order. So therefore, if we do it in the order I mentioned before, ikodem matnot sheva, if you do it before you do the 7, okay, so like I said, kmitza, haktara, and then the sheva, there's another problem with that, which is kol shemimenu le'ishim harehu bebal taktiru. Okay, we have to understand what this means. In order to understand this, we have to read Vayikra, Perek Bet, Psukim, Yud Alek, and Yud Bet. Okay, it says here, kol mincha asher takrivu la'Hashem lo te'aseh chametz. Okay, you're not allowed to use a mincha of chametz, but remember, it has to be like matzah-like. It can't leaven. Ki kol se'or v'chol dvash lo tatiru mimenu ishe la'Hashem. Because any se'or dvash, you can't burn, okay, ishe la'Hashem, a fire to God. The words Yishel Hashem are a little unnecessary. So they darshan this pasuk to read in two things. These words, lo taktiru mimenu, there's going to be two isurim here. One that goes before and one that goes after. In other words, they go on the earlier words of the pasuk and they also go on the later words. So they explain like this. Kotsor v'chol dvash lo taktiru. You can't bring anything leavened or honey on. You can't burn. And lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. What does that mean? You can't burn something, okay? Or in this case, we're going to explain, it doesn't always only mean burning. Burning means offering something to God. In our case, it's going to be the hazaot, the shemen that we're sprinkling on by the Petach Ohel Moed. You can't offer anything, ishel Hashem, after you've burned it on the mizbech. Which means that if you've burned the ikar part of that korban, which in this case is the shemen that you burned on the mizbeach, you can't take what's left and also burn it, which in this case means also offer it. Okay? So ikodem, I'll just read it again, ikodem matnot sheva, if you want to do it before the matnot sheva, then you can no longer do the matnot sheva, because kol shem imenu l'ishim, anything that has already come from that onto the fire, the main part has been burned, harehu bebal taktiru, you can't burn anything else, or like we said, offer it. Okay, so Amar Rav Yehuda Bered Rav Shimon ben Pazi, demasik lehu l'shem etzim. When we offer it, now here there's Rashi's way of reading this and Tosfot's way. Okay, two very different ways of reading this. So here what we're talking about. Rishon ben Pazi explains that sometimes you could take offerings and say that we're burning them in the Mizbeach, not to be burned in the Mizbeach, because that might be an issue here. Like let's say it's already part of it, the main part of it has been burned. But you can say I'm burning it on the Mizbeach in order to have more fire going on the Mizbeach, right? I'm kindling the fire. So if you write to Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, okay, now we have to read the next pasuk there, okay? The next pasuk says, right after you can't do these things, Korban reshit takrivo otam la'ashem ve'el ha'mizbeach lo ya'alu l'reach nichach. You can't put them on the mizbeach for reach nichach. Reach nichach means to be accepted by God. So comes Rabbi Lezer and he says, l'reach nichach yatamale, aval atamale l'shem etzim. You can be ma'ale for the purpose of etzim. Okay, so now, what are we referring to here? So some people say that we're referring to not the burning here, but the offering. Putting the oil on, you know, l'fnei ol mo'ed, when you do the seven sprinklings of the oil, we can look at that as you're just kind of throwing water, okay? In other words, it can be in both ways. Either you're just kind of putting water, or you know, it's oil, but as you're not actually doing it as an offering, it can be viewed just like you can burn something on the Mizbeach L'Shem Eitzim, you can put water by the parochet for L'Shem whatever. It's a very difficult explanation, because nobody would ever put oil on the parochet. Like, it doesn't make sense so much. Tosfot has a lot of issue with it. So Tosfot says what we're talking about here is not allowing the matnot sheva, it's that the haktara, when we burn this Suffolk mitzora korban on the Suffolk mitzora oil on the, you know, is it mitzora or is it voluntary offering of oil? So when we burn the oil on the mizbeach, it could be we're just randomly pouring oil on the mizbeach and not actually burning it. In other words, you could say it's also kindling the fire. And that what we're talking about here is the oil burning, and there's two parts. There's the part of there's two stages here. There's the first stage of if you burn something, l'shem, it's burning, or it's offering on the mizbeach, then you're not allowed to do the burning later. So the first burning is the burning the oil. The second is you're not allowed to sprinkle, right, which is offering. So the question is, which one? Is it the first stage or the second stage that we're saying is not actually a stage? Right, that you can look at either the first or the second, according to which interpretation you take, as not being connected. So if the first part of putting it on the mizbeach is not considered the burning of it, well, then there's no isser here to do the hazaot. Or if you say the burning was good burning, it's just we can look at the hazaot as nothing. So those are the two different interpretations here. Either which way, we can view this as one of these is viewed as just a regular act of nothing, and therefore you can actually do it. You're not doing any problem, right? It's not this issue of Baal Taktiru. Okay, tomorrow we'll have some more questions and we'll finish this tomorrow.